This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 244 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com. And joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I am. Therefore, I drink.
Yeah, okay. I'll go with that. What have you been up to in the last week?
I've been missing you.
Yeah, sorry about last week. Unfortunately, the weekend prior on the, what was it, about the 17th? Actually, no, it was the 16th. It was Saturday the 16th. Kath's grandfather passed away. Say again?
Did she like him?
Yes, she did. Quite a lot. And I suppose you have to ask these questions.
Well, I wasn't really fond of my grandparents, so you know, not everybody is.
Right.
When my grandmother died, I was still living at home with my mum and dad in those days, and mum came into my bedroom and she goes, "Oh, I've got something to tell you." I said, "Can you come back in the adverts? Because I'm kind of watching a show here." She goes, "Grandmother's dead." I said, "Yeah, come back and tell me on the adverts." I wasn't real partial to the lady.
Oh, dear. Yeah, so anyway,
She liked her grandfather. That's upsetting.
It was, yeah. I mean, we knew it was coming, although we didn't think it was going to be before Christmas. We thought he would have made it to Christmas, but these things happen. So, yeah, so we had to make a trip up to, well, north of Grafton. So that meant we were away for 3 nights of last week, and that's why we didn't get a podcast recorded.
So we apologize to all the listeners and for Kath's inconsiderate grandfather. And
so you'd think that having been off the air for a week, we would have stacks of things to talk about.
Brilliant. I tell you what, my Word document alone for tonight's episode is tens of words long.
Right, tens.
Tens.
You're almost doing better than me.
So since I've got back from India, so I had a sick wife,
right?
Two sick kids and a sick me, and 5 workshops.
Wow!
So it's been a fairly frenetic. Another lovely, awesome shoot with Santa and the pets at Australian Animal Protection Society.
Oh, okay.
So I help out my good mate Dave Oakley.
Yeah,
once a year. Yeah, he's my main man, Dave, and
yep,
he does everything for me. He does all my website. He does everything all as volunteer basis for years, and I'd be useless without him.
Yep.
So once a year, I get to do something for him, and that's go and help him out shoot Santa with animals.
Right.
It's just a nightmare.
What do they say? Never work with kids or animals.
Last year we had this horrendous setup. Yeah. They were sort of shoved in a corner with a really bad couch, with a bad bit of red shag pile carpet on the back of the couch, which kept falling off every time an animal moved.
Right.
In blustery, horrible.
Why did you have the animals sitting on the couch? Did you?
On the couch, on Santa, anywhere right. We could damn well get. So last year it was just a debacle.
Right.
This year was worse. Right. This year made last year look like it was just one of those joyful sessions you pine about after years. You know? And we get there and there's nowhere to set up. They haven't done it. Oh, I've got this room in the shed for you, they said. So we go to this shed.
Oh, no.
We open the shed and there's 500 kilos of pet food that would have to be moved by us before we could even get access to put a chair or something for Santa to sit on.
Right.
So we end up setting up the front of the Animal Protection Society on a piece of grass against a red corrugated metal fence.
Okay.
With a $1 stick-up plastic Santa tablecloth as the backdrop.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, now I love Dave Oakley the pieces, but, he's... For people who know Dave, they'll know how much I love him. But he's got an acquired brain injury,
yes,
and he has some physical limitations.
Yep,
because of a workplace attack he was having many years ago.
Yep.
So he doesn't do numbers very well.
No.
You know, he struggles with words sometimes, and he's not the most mobile of guys because he can't feel his entire right side of his body.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, to make matters more fun, he went and broke his big toe on his left foot.
Oh, how'd he do that?
But I'm relying on him being the one taking the photos.
Oh, okay.
Because he'd set up this awesome iPad ordering system. So people come up, we take the details, what they want, take a reference photo of the animal so they can link it up with the photos. And great system. Except he was expecting his wife to be able to do that for him, but she's mostly deaf.
Right.
She can't hear what people are saying. Oh. He can't move. So I'm trying to type in all that, keep them all alive. Oh, it was just...
Sounding like an episode of The Three Stooges or something.
The ultimate came the second last customer of the day when sitting on Santa's knee and the chair gave way and broke into like eight pieces.
Oh.
As they all collapsed on the ground. And she had one of these really tiny dogs. And I thought for a second there we were going to be a dog-free photo shoot. But no, the dog came out of it unscathed. The woman couldn't stop laughing. Santa lost his beard and was crying, mostly from laughter. These are the moments in life when you know you're a photographer. Because I'm running around above them taking photos with my iPhone.
Nice.
It's more about getting the photos of the embarrassment rather than trying to help the old lady up. Yeah, she was 74 or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's on her back. Santa's on top of her. There's this dog sort of squeezing out between and. The chair in eight pieces. How can you not shoot it?
Yeah.
The whole day. So that was my joy for Sunday. But like I say, we raised $1,000 in 3 hours of shooting.
Oh, nice.
For the animals. So that was really good.
Nice.
So that was my photo exploits for the week.
Excellent.
Never worked with kids or animals. It has never meant more to me than that moment.
Yeah, right.
Man. Yep. I'll be there again next year.
Yeah.
So Dave goes down there every Thursday.
Right.
Photographs the animals that have been left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He does his most beautiful, his specialties, pet portraits.
Yep.
He goes down and volunteers and takes photos of all the new animals, does these beautiful shots.
Yeah.
For their website and for their newsletters so they can get the animals adopted.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, they've had people driving down from Sydney to pick up animals because his photos are so lovely.
Wow.
It's a great thing. He's really helping them out. And he does that tirelessly every Thursday. He's out there doing that.
Do the people get really disappointed when they turn up and see the animal in real life?
Oh, he's been photoshopped. No, because he does.
This three-legged dog had four legs in the photo.
And he was blue, not black. He does a wonderful job for those guys. So
I'll
be there to support him whilst ever he wants to do it.
Excellent.
But it is a challenge. We're assured next year we might have a $2 tablecloth as a backdrop rather than a whole dollar one.
Double the budget.
So what have you been up to this week besides the obligatory? Yeah.
Well. There is a photographic related story there in that I took my camera.
Actually, before we go on,
yeah,
did you have any great photos of Kat's grandfather?
I did.
Good.
But interestingly, they didn't ask for any for the service. So I'll get to that.
Okay.
So I took my camera up to Grafton. Not knowing what to expect, and got to the church, and I said to Kath's grandmother, I said, "Now look, Joyce, I'm not making assumptions. I've brought my camera along. If you would like me to take photos, I will. If you don't want me to, quite happy not to." She sort of broke down in tears and said, "Oh, I would love it if you would. That would be really nice." So I said, "Okay, not a problem. I will do that." So basically just went into the church armed with my 24-70 2.8 and shot images. You know, it was mainly a viewing, not really a service as such. And I'm personally not really wrapped in the whole idea of open coffins. My maternal grandfather passed away in my arms when I was about 17, 18. Oh, no, I must have been older than that. I must have been in my early 20s.
What did you do to him?
We were outside working on cutting up an old 5,000-gallon water tank with a what looks like a chainsaw, but instead of having a saw on the, like, instead of a rotating saw chain, it actually had a big rotary cutting disc on the front. And we were taking turns cutting up this tank, because this tank had been lined with cement on the inside to try and, I don't know what the original intent was, because we weren't the ones who'd concreted the inside of the tank. So we needed this whopping big saw thing to cut it apart. Now, my grandfather had already at that stage had two heart attacks in the previous 8 years. And so there we are in the, you know, hot blazing Queensland sun, taking turns cutting up this water tank. And we were cutting out panels that were, you know, just a big enough size that it would take the two of us to carry them to the box trailer that was on the back of the car and dump them in so that we could then take them all to the tip. And one of us had just finished cutting. I can't remember if it was him or me. I think it was him. And he'd put the saw down, and we've both leaned down to the ground to pick up our respective two corners of the piece of the water tank. And my grandfather stopped, and he stood back up, and he sort of started to sway back and forwards on his feet. And he said, "Oh, don't feel too good." And I just took one look at him and I thought, crap, he's going to fall over. And so I've just leapt across the piece of water tank that was lying on the ground, grabbed him in a bear hug, and I said, "Look, you know, just come and sit over here by the laundry, you know, on the step, get your breath." And we got about three steps towards that, and he just collapsed on me. And I had to yell out for my grandmother. And at the time, we were out on this little farm that they had bought to retire to, and we were 30 kilometers from town, and 20 Ks of that was dirt. And so we had to, you know, ring for an ambulance. So by the time the ambulance got there, it was, you know, a good 40 minutes later. And, you know, mum and my grandmother and myself, we were taking turns in doing mouth to mouth, trying, you know, yes, keep oxygen going there. But by the time the ambulance got there, you know, they,
that's a long time.
Yeah. And they, and the local policeman came, you know, cause it's a tiny little town in the middle of Queensland. So the coppers come out with the ambulance, and, the ambo has said, "Look, I've got to do the, not the paddles to resuscitate, but I've got to at least, take the sticky bits off the tabs and stick the tabs on the chest to get a reading from the heart." Mm. And he said, "By law, once I've attached those sensors to his chest, I then have to attempt resuscitation." And my mum said, "Look, I'm a nurse."
Wow.
"And he hasn't had, you know, he hasn't been breathing for 40 minutes. And even if you brought him back now, he'd be brain damaged, and we don't want him brought back like that. And he wouldn't want to be brought back like that." And she turned to the copper and she said, "Yeah, will you allow us to not resuscitate or attempt resuscitation?" And he said, "I'm fine with it if you are and if the ambo is." And so everyone mutually agreed. So that was the sad demise of my grandfather. Wow. Yeah. And they,
did you like him?
Yeah, I loved him a lot. He was a great guy.
Okay.
I wish I'd I wish I'd spent more time getting to know motorcycle engines from him, because he knew a lot. And it's just one of those things, you know, when you're a kid, you don't.
My grandfather, no interest at all.
Well, my grandfather used to build motorcycles back for AJ and Matchless. Wow. Motorcycles in England before the war. And then he became a diesel mechanic for the British Army during the war, and then came out to Australia afterwards, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so they had an open coffin for his funeral, and I just found that really off-putting. Because
we Westerners do like to hide our death.
Well, It's not so much.
I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for that.
I wouldn't say I'm all for hiding death. I accept that, you know, death is a part of, you know, the cycle we go through. But what I found is that as good a job as the you know, the funeral parlor does, when you display a dead body, you know, and admittedly we're talking 3-4 days after they've passed away, it just doesn't look like the person you knew.
We've been to Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Like, well, same thing.
You right.
Know, you know, they're just a hollow shell of what you're trying to, you're trying to make this lifeless thing have life, and it doesn't work.
And no, and it doesn't. No. So anyway, to get back to the story.
It was the story?
Yes.
Oh, well, to make a short story long, go on.
Hey, I'm not the one who keeps interrupting.
Knock, knock.
So anyway,
knock, knock.
Joyce said to me that, yes, she would love me. Shut up.
Knock, knock.
No. Who's there?
An interrupting cow.
Right. Can I shoot the cow?
You're supposed to say the interrupting cow who?
Interrupting cow
who?
Anyway. So, yeah. So they had an open coffin. So I wasn't absolutely stoked to be up the front of the church, but because Joyce had asked me to take the images, I said, yes, I will do that. So, yeah, so, you know, I didn't go crazy.
Like a reverse wedding, really, isn't it?
Something like that. So I was very restrained in the number of images that I took. I didn't want to be there like paparazzi, you know, bloody on burst mode or anything.
camera flashes. Yeah. Burst lights.
Yeah.
Sometimes it isn't appropriate. Right?
And Kath has a brother who is, I don't know how to describe him. Very aloof. Yep,
like that too.
Yeah. and I was kind of getting this look and a vibe from him, and I thought he's got a real issue with me taking photos. I could just sense it.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, kept the number of images to a minimum, but covered what I thought was appropriate.
And
afterwards, we were when we got in the car and we were heading back to Kath's mum's place, I said, do us a favour and talk, you know, I won't name the brother, but I said, you know, have a yarn with him at some point and just make sure that he understands that I was only taking images because Joyce asked me to. And Kath said, yeah, okay, no worries. And she said, he's, you know, he's always like that. Doesn't matter who it is. Oh, yeah, okay.
I got one of those.
So anyway, before she even had a chance to do that, we're sitting around the table at home and he says to me, were you taking photos today? And I said, yeah, I was. I said, but I only did it because Joyce, you know, asked me to do it. And he's like, okay. He said, well, I don't want to see them. I said, mate, I completely understand. And that's fine. So that was kind of awkward, but I was glad that we got that addressed.
Yeah.
But then we got back here to Gosford and you know, Kath said, oh, you know, can you give me the images that you've shot? And she said, I'm going to go and look for some, you know, some other images of Jeff, her grandfather.
Yeah.
And she sat down in the, you know, in the spare room where the cardboard box is full with, you know, photo albums from the last, you know, 40 odd years. And she found two.
Oh, man.
And I thought, well, hang on, I know I've got images of him. And this is where I am so glad for Lightroom and its bloody keyword hierarchies, because I was just able to fire up the, you know, the database and just type his name in, and boom, up came 17 images with his name tagged in it. And so I just, you know, went through those and found half a dozen that were good ones and flicked those across to her. And so she's going to put a little photo book together for her grandmother. Just as a memorial thing for her. So
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's just so important. I mean, they came home this week. My wife's grandmother died just over a year ago now.
Right.
And so is my kid's great grandmother, and we've got photos of her on the wall.
Yep.
And in my 2.5-year-olds, it's always, oh, there's Nana Rossi, Nana Rossi. I mean, she in no way she'd ever remember her, but only by photos does this woman stay alive in my kids' lives.
In their memories, you know? Yeah.
It's just so important, yeah, that we have these, that we do this stuff.
Yep.
That's our job as photographers, isn't it? Yeah, even at inappropriate moments or what we feel maybe, oh, it's not quite the right time to be taking photos.
Yeah.
Maybe it is anyway, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, the images that I had of Jeff, you know, I never imagined at the time that I took them that they would become as important as they are now.
Yeah. And but that's why you should make sure that you do take good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole point, we just don't know what's out there in the world. I mean, I don't know what great photos of my parents that are around, as an example. So I'm always making sure I try and take as nice of photos as I can.
Yeah.
Not just a memory shot, but a quality shot.
Yeah, right.
Because I want it to have that lifespan, you know.
Yep.
So, yeah, good on you. Well done for having taken them in the first place.
Yeah, yes. So, yeah. Anyway.
So, you've been doing a little bit of photo stuff.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. Well, just whilst you're mentioning Lightroom.
Yeah.
And because we've been talking a bit about Creative Cloud over the last few months.
Yes.
One of my lovely listeners sent through, but yes, Mr. Frosty sent through this week saying that Photoshop's reduced their Creative Cloud from $20 a month down to $10 a month.
Wow.
And up until December 2, they've also dropped the requirement to have an existing CS license.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So you don't have a CS2, CS3, or CS4, or whatever.
Yeah, so right. Because I think when they initially announced Creative Cloud, you had to have an existing CS3,
exactly.
Yeah, CS3 or later.
Yeah,
license.
Exactly.
Wow.
So up until December 2, they've dropped that requirement as well.
Wow. Wow, that's interesting.
Which is good.
Now, that reduction in price to $10 a month, I think that is the photographer-centric bundle. It's not the full Creative Cloud suite. It is just, I think
that's
it gives
all.
You...
It's Photoshop, it's Lightroom, it's online storage.
Yeah.
Then you've got all their online resources and so on, blah, 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 blah. So it's everything you need really as a photographer.
But even so, I mean, if you can jump into that, you know, without having to have a pre-qualifying license for $10 a month, that's, you know...
It's awesome, isn't it?
Absolutely. $120 bucks a year to own both Photoshop and Lightroom?
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn good.
So, yeah.
I've been holding off getting on the cloud because I bought Lightroom 5, you know, days before they announced it. So I just spent $100 to upgrade that. And then, oh, hang on a sec, that's kind of pointless. So I think I'll be jumping on that before it changes after December 2. So that's worth pointing out.
I might just have to do the same, I think.
Yeah.
While we're speaking, Adobe, it's probably old news now, but for anyone who isn't aware, Adobe's servers got hacked about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Millions with an M, of passwords were compromised. So if you do have an Adobe account, and if you have any licensed Adobe product, then you do have an Adobe account. You are highly recommended, if you haven't already done so, to log in and change your password. Because it seems like just about every Adobe customer on the planet had their password compromised.
Yeah, so. Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, what's the world? These 12-year-old boys with too much time in their hands, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
Get back to surfing porn like all the other normal 13-year-old kids, 12-year-old kids do. Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You got anything else on your...
Well, we had that lovely email through from Carl Hemmings this week regarding those incredible photographs of those incredible tribes.
Yes. Seeing as how this is the death and everything episode.
It's a death episode, yeah. Well, it's coming up on... it's Black Friday, I think, this week in America, isn't it? Their big shopping.
Oh, is it? That'll be Thanksgiving this Thursday. Yes, you're right.
It's all Black Friday death episodes.
Yes, of course, that'll be all past history by the time this podcast comes out. But yes, you are correct. Anyway, Carl Hemming sent us this great link to a portfolio of a, what was the guy's name?
Ask me now.
Darren Rouse. Melbourne-based photographer who has travelled around the world and photographed all different Indigenous tribes who are in danger of disappearing. And he's called the portfolio Before They Pass, meaning that, you know, he's captured images before these tribes disappear. And, wow, phenomenal series of images.
And it's not just... I've got these interesting-looking people. He shot them in interesting ways, with interesting light, with interesting composition.
Yeah.
So it's more. It's photography. It's not just.
It's not just photojournalism.
It's not just a documentary record of what these people are like. There's actually some drama and interest to the photos too, which is very good. So that's definitely beforethey.com.
Yeah.
It's the website. I'll definitely be having a gander at that.
Now, in the show notes, I'll also post a YouTube link to a TED Talk from Amsterdam where Darren is talking about the shooting of this portfolio. So if you're interested in that, both of those links will be in the show notes.
Terrific. The owner of lensrentals.com
right.
Came out with an alternative dictionary to photography terms during the week.
Oh, okay.
So I've clipped out a few of the interesting ones, which I thought we could talk about. So, bokeh, whatever you want to call it. The look of the picture in the parts where you can't tell what you're looking at.
Right. Okay.
So that's pretty accurate. Depth of field. The part of an image that is in best focus, traditionally placed just in front of or just behind the subject.
Okay.
Registro. Genre. Broad categories of photography such as landscape, action, glamour, wildlife and portrait, all which combined together are less common than the most popular genre, the selfie.
Yes, absolutely.
Phase detection autofocus. Now, I love this one.
Mm-hmm.
A method to approximately put the plane of focus somewhere near an object approximately selected by a point in the viewfinder that approximates the location of a dedicated sensor in the camera, which is approximately calibrated to the camera's image sensor.
Nice.
That's just nailed that one, haven't I? Sharpness. The amount of fine detail visible in an image before it is compressed to 1/10 its original size to put on Facebook.
Nice.
Here's one of my personal favorites, a vignette, a technique used by lens designers to make the image very dark in the places where the lens is very bad, based on the principle that if things are dark, you won't notice how bad they are.
Nice.
I love that. Weather resistant. A term that consumers falsely define as weatherproof and camera companies accurately define as the warranty doesn't cover water damage. And wedding photography. A complex form of photography that consists of first making hysterical people appear calm and joyous and later making sloppy drunk people appear pleasantly tipsy. The purpose is to create a beautiful album of images that statistically has a 54% chance of being ripped into little pieces within 5 years.
Nice.
And my absolute... Oh, I'll do this one, then I'll do a... I'll do that. My absolute favourite. Flickr, Facebook, et al. Online locations where photographers upload and display their photos for others to steal and claim as their own. And my personal favourite, which is actually from a reader's comments rather than his own one, photography workshop, a presentation where one photographer with minimal skills and abilities reiterates basic and commonly known photographic information to other minimally skilled photographers for a fee.
He's calling you out, mate.
Oh, he's fantastic. He said, has he been looking over my shoulder? Unbelievable.
That's great. Well, the only other thing that I had on my list of things this week was something I saw from David Hobby, better known as The Strobist. And this was something he posted on Twitter, and it was a retweet. He said, "I've been doing a lot of thinking recently about the next step in my weird one-off career. And this tweet, by a man who I truly admire, summed up my thoughts in just 4 words.
Four?
From Brian Lamb. The 4 words were, low frequency, high amplitude. As a photographer, you could hardly ask for better advice. I'm taking it to heart, both for myself and for Strobist." Now, it took me a little while to kind of dig into the meaning of that. But my interpretation of it, low frequency, high amplitude, my interpretation of that is be selective about what you shoot, but make every shot count. Like low frequency, meaning low frequency of shutter actuations.
Absolutely.
So take more time with the shot, but high amplitude, meaning make every shot a quality shot. That was my interpretation. I mean, if someone else has got a different interpretation of those 4 words, I'd love to hear it.
But that's spot on, though.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I think because I had to think about it a little bit, it was not immediately obvious to me what the intent was, and I think that's why it grabbed me. So, yeah.
It's a little bit like my intent in India was to do something along this, yeah. Was to don't to feel more, think less kind of thing as well.
Yep.
And to which every morning for like the first 20 minutes, half an hour of every morning, I'll be up just before sunrise. I'll just stand on the street corner.
Yeah, right.
Just sit, camera away, enough. Just stand there and just watch.
Yeah,
and
right.
Feel and listen and smell and just feel the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try and get into the rhythm of life there. You know. And I think that helps you, to understand what's going on, to get into the groove, be it chaos, be it somewhere really quiet, whatever it is. Yeah, you've got to. Today I went fly fishing as an example. First time I've been fishing in forever.
Right.
I went up around these incredibly beautiful little streams up near the mountains.
Hmm.
And I got there and just stopped, trying to savor that feel. You got to feel the place.
Yep.
To get in tune with it, and so I do that when I fish. I should do that when we photograph. We got to get in tune for what we're trying to capture.
Yeah,
and hopefully it turns into something a little bit more. It opens up those synapses in our brain to do something more than just think about the technical side of what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah, yeah.
Adam Davidson sent through. David Adamson sent through a video on Shutterzinc during the week as well. Just another warning to the world about using your cameras near laser shows. Did you see that?
Oh, yes, I did see that, yes.
Where a guy renders his Canon 5D Mark II effectively useless from one quick flash of a laser.
Yeah.
At a
nightclub.
Nightclub, yeah.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, well, there goes your sensor, dude. Yeah.
Yep.
So if you're not aware of that, be very careful around lasers.
Yeah, I'll go and retrieve that link, and I'll make sure that's in the show notes as well. If you haven't seen it, it's a pretty nasty effect. Once the laser has shone directly down the barrel and onto your sensor, it just leaves a vertical line across the sensor that never, ever goes away. So you've pretty much fried your camera.
Yeah.
Pretty nasty.
And one other thing came across my desk this week, and by my desk, in my mobile phone whilst I was out and about. My wife sent it through. The Age newspaper down here in Melbourne has starting up in 2014 their own photography association.
Okay.
For amateur photographers.
Right.
And it's called CLIQ.
Yeah.
As in CLIQUE.
Okay. All right. Yes.
A click and a click, if you get it. Those great play on words.
Yep.
If you're a little group of photographers getting together and singing your own little click, but also you take photos and it goes click, and you get it.
Yep.
You get it? You see what they did?
Yeah.
So it's really quite interesting. So the way they're doing it is that their photographers and their photo editors at The Age will be setting competitions and setting the assignments and judging and all this kind of stuff. The last Friday of each month, they put the winning images from that month's competition into the newspaper.
Oh, nice.
So it's kind of interesting. It's a fee. It's like $50 for the year, or if you subscribe to the newspaper, it's only $25.
Right.
And then at the end of the year, which is kind of cool if you're into this sort of stuff, they do a Click Amateur Photographer of the Year award, and the person gets to have a 1 month internship with Fairfax Photographic Department.
Right.
Which would be kind of cool.
So now we've gone to the complete opposite end of the spectrum. We started out where people wanted you to work for nothing. Now they want you to pay for them to use your photos.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, because what are they trying to do? They're trying to elevate all their readers' photographic skills so they can sack the photography department so the readers can take better photos of stuff that has happened so they can publish them in their newspaper.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they know they need decent photos and they know the people out there can't do it. So if we teach them, so all these people, all the photographic department is teaching these people stuff, well, they'd be just putting themselves out of a job.
Yeah. But, crazy.
It's also the Sydney Morning Herald as well. So,
oh, okay.
And they're doing it up there too. So that was another little interesting tidbit that came across my desk this week.
Yeah. Okay.
But other than that, that's about all I've got for the week, my friend.
Yeah. Right.
Flat out for the moments I've had in front of a computer, going through my India images, still just trying to, you know, still sorting through them.
Right. Did I mention that I thought that I had lost the last 2 days of photos from Borneo?
You did.
Guess what?
What?
I found them.
Oh, good.
In the most unlikely of places.
Borneo?
Still on the memory card in the camera bag.
Hiding in the open like that?
Yeah, hiding in plain sight, yeah. Just bizarre, you know, because I'd gone through all the issue with the hard drive failure and of course then I went back to the tablet thinking, oh, I'll still have them on the tablet, you know, I'll be able to get them from there. And then when I've looked at the tablet, I've gone, oh, crap, because it was the last day, I didn't upload the images to the tablet. And I don't know why it never occurred to me beforehand to check
the bag.
Memory cards. And then, yeah, just the other day I was thinking about it and I thought, hang on. I'm pretty sure I didn't delete all the memory cards, you know, when I got home. I think they're probably still there. And so I went and pulled them out, and sure enough, there they were. Oh, so
that's great.
So I was absolutely stoked. And you know what I'm really stoked about was that...
Stokey things?
Yes. Within the Lightroom database, right?
Yeah.
If you lose the original image to which the, you know, the Lightroom database is looking, what happens is when you then go to browse that folder, Lightroom just shows a blank square box, but it still shows the ratings and it's still got all the developed settings. It just can't find the raw file that it's meant to be referencing. And I had looked at them and thought, well, I might as well delete these because I haven't got the raw images anymore. And then something in my head, this is like a month ago, something in my head said, let's just hang on to those for a little bit longer. And so I left them there, and every time I'd go in and look at those, you know, those folders, because I'm still working through processing the images so as to prepare my photo book, every time I'd see those blank, you know, grey boxes, I'd be just go, stupid, you know. And so what I had done was I'd got, you know, medium resolution JPEGs, which I had transferred to my phone, because I just like to have, you know, all my recent work on my phone, just so if people ask, what have you been shooting lately, I can whip out the phone and go, oh, you know, this and that and blah, blah, blah.
Me too. And then how many people say, well, you took that with your phone?
Yes, they do.
I know. No.
So I had brought those JPEGs back into, you know, into my computer and said to Lightroom, look, you know, here's these JPEGs in the same folder. So every second image was a JPEG and the alternate ones were the grey boxes.
Yeah.
And so then when I found the actual raw files all still sitting on the memory card, I went, oh, this is fantastic. So I, you know, put the memory card into the card reader and dragged them all in and dropped them in the correct date folders in, you know, in the folder structure on my Windows hard drive where the, you know, where they should have been.
Yeah.
And 'cause then I've gone and opened up Lightroom, and Lightroom has suddenly realized that these files were back in place, but for some reason it looked at all the JPEGs which had the same name but just a different file extension, and it had superimposed all of the standard previews that it uses, like its little thumbnail versions, onto all the RAW files. And I've gone, that's kind of weird, because I know it's still got all of the, you know, the settings for each RAW image, each RAW file. Mm-hmm. And so what I was able to do, because I noticed that if I went to loop view, where you're just looking at one image, it would then rebuild the preview when you loaded the image. And I thought, well, I don't want to sit here and just, you know, arrow through waiting for it to rebuild every image. And then I found that there's a function in the image menu right down the bottom. It's got previews with a little fly out, and you flick that out and it gives you the option to rebuild all of your image previews. So I was able to go through and, you know, using the metadata tags, just go select all the RAW files, and then told it rebuild all the standard previews, and it went through and it regenerated the previews based on the developed settings, and boom,
there it was,
all back. So I'm stoked.
And it's like yeah, first week of summer, you go and you pull out the shorts you haven't worn since previous summer, you put your hand in your pocket, there's $50.
It's exactly like that,
isn't it? It's just the same. That's
Yeah, so it was pretty.
For many years, I still always not stuff money into the jackets and stuff that I knew I wasn't going to be wearing for a while. Just
a forced savings plan.
Kind of, trying to give myself that satisfaction. I've always been a bit weird that way. Give myself this future satisfaction down the track, you know. It's like for 10 years, I used to set my alarm clock an hour earlier than I needed to get up.
Right.
Just so I could wake up, get up, have breakfast, and go back to bed for an hour. 10 years I did that. No, because it was a joy. So, well, I can get back to bed for an hour. Not thinking that I had to, you know, ruin my sleep to do it.
That's crazy.
I'm not the smartest man on the block. I'm still desperately going through all my Indian images and trying to collate all those for my book I'm going to be doing for my stuff as well. So,
yeah, right.
It's a long task, a long job.
I actually have to pull my finger out because I bought the voucher for the photo book before we went to Borneo, and it expires on about the 20th of December. So I've got about three.
It's good to have a time frame you have to work through.
Exactly. So I've got to get busy over the next week or two. So
good stuff.
All right, mate. Well, good to talk to you again.
And you. It seems like it's been like a fortnight.
It does seem like that. All right. Well, you have a good week.
I will. And you have a week too?
I shall do that.
Excellent.
Talk to you next week. See ya.
See you, mate.
Bye.
Bye, then.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.